Thank you so much for that, guys. Again, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Nehemiah chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Nehemiah chapter number 4 and verse number 6. We're not going to do things like we always do them. Today is a special day in the life of our church and our faith venture as a gospel community. And I am so thankful to see each and every one of you here and to be a part of this day as we look forward to our future. It's also important in moments like today to look back and to remember our past. You know, God has been very good to Cornerstone Baptist Church over the last 14 years. A little more than 14 years ago, Cornerstone was planted through the leading of the Holy Spirit of God by faithful men and women of Christ who desired to see a next generation won by the transforming power of the gospel on the west side of Sedalia. They were humble beginnings. In fact, if you ever worked with Miss Carroll over the last 14 years, you have heard her say over and over again, we had no idea what we were doing. But God was a faithful God, and He still remains that faithful God today. And where He leads, He always provides. He always makes a way, even over our mistakes. Over the years, we've had a lot of homes as a church. We started in a barn, and we worked our way from a barn to Harmony Associational Office, from there to an abandoned grocery store, from there into Smith Cotton Junior High for a month, and then finally, back in 2006, God fixed us into a permanent dwelling at 19856 Highway Y, where you're sitting this morning. The building that you're now in actually began 10 years ago. I find that interesting. It began in May of 2006, and it was finished in 2010. And the property next door was purchased as well in 2010, giving us what we have today with an approximate acreage of about 23 acres. I find it interesting that our last groundbreaking ceremony was 10 years ago because in the Bible, the number 10 represents completeness. It means that there's a new day upon us. It's certainly appropriate as we look towards our future this morning to remember our past. Because our past can serve two purposes. It can show us both our failure, and it can also give us an example to live by. History teaches us what we've done wrong in the past and stands as a marker on the road to say, don't come down this way and to learn from the mistakes. But history oftentimes also serves as an example of what faith is supposed to look like and how to have faith in the present day. Our history here at this church reminds us that God has provided before, and He will provide for us again. Today, we do not forget our history. By any means, we honor our history and the soil upon which we were sown, but we also look forward to a future. I want you to know before we go any further this morning that our future here as a church is bigger than any of the names that are represented right now. Cornerstone Baptist Church and our future is bigger than any of us who sit now in our chairs. Cornerstone Baptist Church has always existed for the glory of Jesus Christ. And my prayer as its pastor is that it will always, from this day forward, continue to journey to do the same thing, to live and to exalt Jesus Christ above all things. Way back in July of 2013, this church voted to begin the process of building. A team was initiated to discuss our needs and begin the process of designing what would become our future sanctuary, nursery, and office spaces. Like life, the process over the last 3 years has not always been simple. There were steps along the way that have been difficult, and each step along the way has been a faith venture as we've looked to God for both His direction and also His provision as we tried to move forward. It's taken a while to settle on an architectural firm, and then when we had given them plenty of direction and we had believed that we understood what God was calling us to do, it still took a while for us to have all of those finished documents. In September of 2015, a year ago, we provided a plan to the church that you voted upon hearing that plan, you voted to build. It's taken us another year to get everything finalized, to answer all of your questions and to decide all of the details for the project, to figure out how we could be the best stewards of what God had given to us. But last month, finally, it all came into place. As we look forward to this building project that officially begins today, I am mindful. I was overwhelmed. In fact, I didn't get much sleep last night as I was reminded again of how difficult building projects can often be on a church, on a pastor, and on the people. To be sure, building a building is a great privilege. This should not be any self-deprecation. This is a great honor that God has given to us from the Lord to be able to be a part of such a moment in history. But at times, it can be difficult on a people if they're not united in their purpose. If we're not united in our mind, if we're not united in why we're doing what we're doing, it can be difficult. With all of the excitement, I want you to know that I'm really excited for the future as well. But I'm also mindful of how difficult such a process can be on a church. And for that reason, this morning, I want us to lay out a purpose as we move forward. And that purpose would be simple, and that is that we must do this together. Being of the same mind and heart, each of us pitching in, volunteering hours, giving sacrificially, and praying from this day until the completion of that building, we either build this building together or we don't build it at all. Someone should have agreed with me at that moment. We either build this building together or we don't build it at all. In other words, in the famous words of Winston Churchill, today is not the end, it is not the beginning of the end, it is merely perhaps the end of the beginning. In order for us to be of the same mind and heart, what I want to do is I want to set the stage this morning. This will not be the last time I talk about building as a spiritual venture. I'm going to preach on building and what God's purposes are in building as we continue through this process. But today, as we break ground, my desire is to set the stage for the future. And so, therefore, I want us to see what building looks like from God's perspective. The reason a building process can be difficult on a church is because there are many reasons that churches oftentimes decide to build. Some churches decide to build kingdoms. To put it simply, they like to be known. It builds the pastor's resume, it gives a testimony to the community, and it sets them apart. Many churches build because they find their contentment in what they have, the number of people in their pews, the size of their budget, and the scope of their buildings. Oftentimes, in such scenarios, the reason you build in the first place is lost along the way. I can say with great confidence today, and I hope you can say it as well, that the building team did not have any of those things in their mind as they sojourned through this process. Every decision that's been made over the last 3 years in the design process, every decision that's been made in the last several months over selecting construction management and so much more, were all made with a singular purpose. And you know what that purpose was? To exalt Jesus Christ amongst his people. The desire in all of this has always been to exalt Christ, and that's it. We didn't propose building for a building for the sake of building a building. We examined the financial effect on our budget, and we asked whether it would hamper our ability to do ministry. We surveyed our needs, and we sought God's face in prayer as we looked forward to what he might provide us along the way. The building that is being built is a result of much prayer, of counsel, and self-examination as a group. And as a result, you voted unanimously to go on this journey with us. There are several passages in the Old Testament that show us that God is a building God. We could talk about Solomon's building of the temple and his prayer of dedication, which we're going to save that one for when our building, our sanctuary is done. But on that day, as he stood before the people in the shadow of one of the most grand churches that was ever designed and built, his prayer that was that God would show himself to the foreigner and to the sojourner in that place, that they would find rest and peace in him. Certainly, that would be my prayer. As we build this new building, my prayer is that God would bring the sojourner and the foreigner there, that they might seek his face and find rest and peace in the shadow of those walls. But one of my favorite building projects in all the Bible is Nehemiah's building of the wall. A little context before we get into Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 6 might be helpful. The people had been uprooted and Jerusalem had been destroyed. No two stones, the prophet said, had been left on top of one another. The temple, the grand church, as it were, that had been built by Solomon was in ruins. The people had been deported, their hopes were dashed, and they had begun to wonder if God even knew they existed anymore. But God was not done with his people in the midst of such chaos, in the midst of such destruction. God was not done with his people. Following the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, a king from Persia by the name of Cyrus came to power, and he began to allow the Jews to return back to Jerusalem and to resettle and to rebuild their temple. But the people were still distressed. Because while God had allowed them to rebuild their temple and even used a pagan ruler to help in that process, God had promised them that they would be a nation unlike all the other nations. that they would be a sovereign nation who answered only unto him, and yet they were still a nation who was in bondage to the rule of another. Fast forward to the book of Nehemiah, another 60 years or so. Nehemiah is the cupbearer of the king, the great king Artaxerxes, or you might know him as the king Xerxes. He had a privileged position in the kingdom. You know what that was? If anyone was trying to poison the king, Nehemiah would die on his behalf. He was the king's cupbearer. That's a special position, right? It's kind of like being the youth pastor at a church. As such, he had a great deal of earned credit with the king, because over and over again, the king knew that Nehemiah had looked out over his life. He had been willing to be the man on the front line, as it were, to drink the cup to see if anyone was trying to kill the king. One day, Nehemiah learned of the condition of Jerusalem. In fact, it's recorded for us in chapter 1 and verse number 3. There's some remnants that come back, and they tell him that the wall of the city is down, and the gates are ablaze, and the city is defenseless, and the enemies of Israel are deriding her as a result, and they are shaming the name of the Lord God. Nehemiah did what any good man of God should do in that moment, and he set his mind to prayer, and he began to ask God and to seek God's face and to say, God, will you provide for your people? Will you allow your name to live in shame? Will you not exalt yourself amongst the nations as you give back the nation of Israel? He went to the king, and amazingly, and with an unthinkable request, and amazingly, the king responded in a way he might not have thought. He went to the king with a request, and that was he wanted to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. In other words, he was saying to the king, King, I know that we are prisoners of war, but would you release us to go back and reestablish ourselves as a sovereign country, not under your rule, and make ourselves defendable again? The king should have said, you are crazy. The king should have sliced his head off of his shoulders, right? The king should have said, have you been drinking too much of my wine, Nehemiah? And yet God had moved on the king's heart, and the unthinkable happened. God moved, and the king answered, and he said to Nehemiah, you have my permission. Not only that, but he sent with Nehemiah some of the things that were necessary in rebuilding the wall. So Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem to build. It was a monumental moment for the people. They were not building for the sake of building. They were building with a purpose. With the walls fallen, God's name had been made a mockery of. With the walls fallen, the people did not remember the promises that God had made. They had lost their identity as a people. With the walls fallen, the people were defenseless. With the walls fallen, the people thought that God had forsaken them. And with the walls fallen, the enemies of Israel thought they had won the day. In front of the people was a very physical process. There was a lot of hard work that needed to be done. They had to build a wall all around the city of Jerusalem, and yet God had a spiritual purpose in their building. You see, as we read through the book of Nehemiah, as the people rebuilt the wall, hope began to rise out of despair of ashes. As the people began to rebuild the wall, God's name began to be glorified among the nations. As the people began to build the wall, God provided for the needs of his people, and he gave them safety and protection. So the people set themselves to the purpose of rebuilding that wall. And you would think that if a people just simply were willing to be obedient to God, if they simply sought God's glory, that any building process would just be smooth, easy, and no problems, right? But that would not be the case throughout this building process. In fact, in chapter 4, we're told about the leader of the Samaritans, a man by the name of Sanballat. What a name, right? Old Sanballat comes with the army of the Samaritans, and he stands before the people as they build the wall, and he begins to make fun of them. He begins to deride their building skills. He says, foxes can get through that wall. How do you think that you're going to be able to fend against us? All through the testimony of the book of Nehemiah, Sanballat and others would come and deride the people. They mocked their building skills. They said that the wall would never hold. They said that they would be able to knock it down in an instant. In fact, they wouldn't even think that they needed to. It would just fall over. It would crumble. It would be a continuing theme all the way through the book of Nehemiah. that people would come and they would cause problem after problem as the people set their heart and their mind on building for the Lord. It wasn't an easy process. It took a lot of hard work. In fact, one of my favorite parts of the story of Nehemiah comes here in chapter number 4 when we're told that the people put a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Can you imagine them? As they built the wall, with one hand they were ready to defend themselves, and with the other hand they were busy about the business that God had given to them. And then we come to Nehemiah chapter number 4 and verse number 6, where I want to make only a few comments this morning. Nehemiah writes, "So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." In the midst of opposition, jeering, and threats of war, the people simply did one thing. They singularly set themselves to the task of building the wall. They didn't worry about what was said. I like the phrase, because the people had a mind to work. It means two things this morning. First of all, it means that God had given them a desire to work together in harmony. God gave them a passion for what was in front of them, even though it was a daunting task. God gave them a desire to work together, everyone pulling their weight in the project to see it through. God sustained them with strength to get the job done. The second thing it means is that God showed them his blessing through their work. As they all pitched in, every man, woman, and child was engaged in the process. God showed them that he was blessing them and providing for them. Well, today, at Cornerstone Baptist Church, today is the end of the beginning. We've talked about it, we've prayed about it, we've given towards it, and now today we move dirt to put it all together. I believe that God has a purpose in this building project, and that purpose is simple. God wants to glorify himself through his people. Our vision statement is that Cornerstone Baptist Church exists to know Christ and to make him known through the transformation of the next generation. Our mission is clear, and that is that we make Jesus famous one life at a time. I want you to know that this building process, this building project, is just one faith venture in our journey. We aren't building to make us famous, or we better not be. The buildings that God provides are for his glory and not for our own. We didn't design and decide to build the biggest building that we could have. We built to meet our immediate and future needs. We are building to meet the needs of our children with nursery space, to meet the needs of our students, and to meet the needs of our growing congregation. But most of all, we are building for the glory of God in Christ Jesus. My prayer is that the words of Nehemiah would be said of Cornerstone Baptist Church. So we built because the people had a mind to work. My prayer is that we are of one mind and purpose in this project. My prayer is that God will give each of us a passion for what we are doing. My prayer is that God will give all of us a passion for his glory in all of this. My prayer is that God will lead each of us to pitch in. Let me say that again. My prayer is that God will lead each of us to pitch in. It can't be done with just a few giving. It can't be done with just a few serving. It must be done together, or it must not be done at all. My prayer is that God will lead each of us to pitch in, and that is working together as we build. My prayer is that God will give us a testimony in our community through this project of what can be done when a people set out to bring him glory. My prayer is that God will show us his blessing in this. May it be said of Cornerstone Baptist Church, so we built because the people had a mind to work. Let's have a few moments of prayer this morning as we draw near to a time where we gather together to build or to begin to mark the beginning of this building project and move dirt. My desire is that we would begin in the right way, and the right way is to always begin with prayer. Bow your heads with me and let's pray. God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, sustainer of life, the giver of purpose, we come before you this morning and beg, seek your provision, your direction. We stand before what seems like, in some ways, a monumental task, a difficult task. And even though we've done our best to seek answers to questions, to search out things, to try to figure out what is best, the truth is, the reality is that none of us knows what tomorrow holds. And so we come before you and we rest our faith in you because we know that you're a sovereign God. And that if you've led in this project as you've moved upon the hearts of your people and you've brought us to this moment and this place and this time, that if you've led us in this project, that you will meet our every need along the way. From subcontractors to contractors to finances to weather, we beseech you to pour out your blessing and your grace upon us, even though we're such an undeserving people. That you would use this building process, a physical process, to do a spiritual work in our hearts and minds. That you would draw us ever closer to you and unite us in faith with one another. We ask for your provision, your hand, your guiding, your leading. We ask for you to be ahead of us in this work and to do it, to see it unto completion and to bring glory unto yourself through it all. I think of the words of Solomon in 1 Kings in chapter number 8. As he stood before you on that day and he prayed these words, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you. Keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. God, indeed, this morning there is no God like you. And we're thankful that you're a covenant God who fulfills every promise that you've made. We come before you at the beginning of this project and we say that we need your help. And we ask for your guidance. May Jesus be glorified. May his name be made famous. Not only in the actual process of building itself, but may this be a place, as it's always been, who has sought your glory. May this be a place where the lost, where the sojourner, where the foreigner finds comfort and rest. Not because there's anything good in us, but rather because of the greatness of Christ that is proclaimed and offered in this place. May you move on the hearts of your people. May you unite us. May you convict us to all play our part, to all pitch in, to do our work. May it be said of us, so we built, because we as a people had a mind to work. A mind to work for your glory, for your honor, for your fame. May you provide for your people through this building. And may you glorify yourself, we humbly ask in Jesus' name.